Welcome, everybody. We had a little big break between the last webinar and this one due to my travel. So we start as usual with the meditation to align the group. And you can see the meditation on your screen if you want to read it yourself or just listen to my words. So make yourself comfortable, releasing all the outside influences, focusing the mind in the head, and imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body as the highest aspect of the personality, integrating the lower energies. We will sound the three ohms after each integrating level, imagining the white golden light illuminating the mental body, purifying the astral body. Strengthening the etheric body, visualize the threefold personality as being unified with the white light. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. The apex of the triangle is pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul, with its apex pointing downwards. See these two triangles facing each other, and by an act of the will, see them merging together and forming a six-pointed star. The soul infused personality. And sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna center, centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers, Ajna, heart, head, into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Om. Thank you, everybody. Now, for the moment, I bring the picture of a CDP disciple on the screen. And we will continue the discussion about the physical body, which we started at the last webinar and didn't have time to finish. So in order to refresh a little bit and connect the topic, I will mention a few points in relation to the physical body. Generally, the rulers of physical body for all of us are the Mars and the Moon. Moon rules the lunar lords of the three lower bodies, physical, astral, and lower mental, as does the Mars, which also, Mars rule also the personality as a whole. But from my perspective, when that rulership happens of the Mars ruling the whole personality, is only when the personality reach a complete integration at the third initiation, where the powerful personality or the dweller on a threshold is facing the final fight with the angel of the presence, where the angel, is the Venus, and the personality or the dweller is the Mars, astrologically speaking. So besides these two planets, Moon and Mars, there are other planetary and ray energies conditioning the physical body. And that becomes related or is depending on the point in evolution of the individual. And now I will be speaking some astrology here, and this is the chart of CDP for those of you who are first time attending the webinar. You see the disciple CDP, and these are the rays, second ray soul, sixth ray personality, fifth ray mind, sixth ray astral, and sixth ray physical body. And this is the natal chart of the disciple. Okay. So, when we are considering the physical body, we need to evaluate primarily the first house, which is this. This is the first house, one here. Representing the physical body, okay? And we take the exoteric ruler, and in this case, for this disciple, as you see, the first house is ruled by Cancer, okay? And it is related to, the first house is related to the form, to the physical form, to the physical body, physical plane, physical environment, okay, and personality as a whole, and indicates that these areas would become important part of outer and inner considerations and tests for this disciple, and basically for each of us when we considering, you know, this first house area in relation to the form, a physical body. So we see that the first house here is ruled by the first decanate of Cancer. Each sign has 30 degrees and divided into three decanates, 1, 2, and 3. So in this case, we have a Cancer decanate. It means there is only one planet to consider ruling the first house, and that is the Moon, the exoteric ruler of Cancer. If the first house would be ruled by the second decanate of Cancer from 10 to 20 degrees, and thus Scorpio decanate of Cancer, then we would look at the Moon ruling Cancer and Mars as ruling Scorpio. And if the third decanate of Cancer would be on the first cusp of the house, then it would be Cancer Pisces, Piscean decanate of Cancer. Then we would have to look at the planet Moon in relation to the Cancer, and planet Jupiter as the lowest ruler, exoteric ruler of the Piscean energy. Okay. So we must remember that even though Mars and Moon rule the physical body for all of us, basically, it is astrologically conditioned by different energies and influence, and its influence is further modified by the ray energy of the physical body itself and all the other rays the rays of the astral and mental bodies, ray of the personality, and ray of the soul. And so all this is dependent upon the level of integration and alignment reached at a particular life, at the present life. So there are always a number of things, you know, to consider, not only one isolated point, because everything is related to everything else, okay? The other thing to keep in mind that the first house also represents the personality as a whole, and its energy would need to be considered with the sun sign, which in this case is the sun in Aries, okay? Because the sun sign is also related to the personality and its rulers when evaluating the personality ray. So we need to consider these two points together. The first house and its energies in relation to the physical body personality and the sun sign. Okay? Because there we get a deeper insight into the level of the integration process reached. The first house and its rulers further represents the physical appearance, you know, how we physically look. Okay? Manifestation, physical manifestation, mannerism, physical brain, the head with its three physical glands, which are the pineal, pituitary, and the carotid gland. And in the case of the disciple CDP, it would be the pituitary body as the externalization of the ajna, which, as we know, ajna is also the center of the integrated personality and the seed of persona. So for this disciple, we have already discussed the pituitary body and the ajna in a previous webinars. Here we are considering purely the physical aspect of the first house here and the physical body. So we see that it brings the influence of the sixth ray ajna and the pituitary body in relation with the sixth ray physical body. The moon ruling Cancer for this disciple is veiled by Neptune. A Neptune and Mars transmit the sixth ray. So the planet or planets ruling the first house need to be considered, you know, where they are, by the house, by the sign placement, aspects to the other planets in the chart. All this would be very important. And we need to synthesize all these points in relation to the level of consciousness of the person, in this case of the disciple. Now, there is a further important planetary influence which need to be considered, and that is the influence of the sacred and non-sacred planets. Now, this is an area of astrological knowledge which is still not very clearly defined, and thus very little included, at least to my perception, in esoteric interpretation, because Master DK presentation of this topic is rather veiled, and you know, he's not giving us anything on a plate. So he is leaving to our own perception and understanding, which we need to work towards ourselves. So what I am presenting here is my own understanding of this topic in relation to the astrological chart. And this disciple is also becoming a new as a how would I say, a new experience for me to test this knowledge in the chart of this disciple. Okay. And I will, for the moment, put, where is it? Here. On the screen, you see the five non-sacred planets: Mars, Earth, Pluto, Moon, veiling a hidden non-sacred planet, and Sun, veiling a non-sacred planet. He is not saying himself that it is the veiled planets are non-sacred planets, but I am coming to the conclusion, because we're dealing with the non-sacred planets, that the planets which the Sun and Moon veil would be also non-sacred. And the seven sacred planets are Vulcan, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus. This is what he is telling us. Okay? Now, he's also telling us that we need, as astrologers, esoteric astrologers, we need to take into consideration when we are dealing with the 12 houses or mansions of the soul, whether the planet is sacred or not. Because there is a difference between the influence of a sacred and non-sacred planet. They are very different. Okay? Generally speaking, the non-sacred planet will affect primarily, as he says, the life in the three lower worlds, and that of the life of the personality. And the sacred planet will aid in the soul personality fusion and in the development of intuition. So the subject which I would like all to really study for each of you is found in Esoteric Astrology, page 503 until 533. So it's 30 pages where DK is discussing this subject from the logoic to the systemic levels of these energies. Now, what he is saying to us further, that the five non-sacred planets rule the four lower bodies and the personality as a whole. Okay? But he is not telling us which bodies are these non-sacred planets rule. Okay? So this is my own understanding that the moon would rule as a non-sacred planet the dense physical body, The earth would rule the etheric body, Mars, astral body, Pluto, the lower mental body, and the Sun, personality as a whole. Because here is what he says. In Esoteric Astrology, page 507, he says, you have therefore four non-sacred planets controlling or ruling the fifth non-sacred planet, correspondence to the four aspects of the lower man. Now, you see, this is a very unusual statement from the master, where he is telling us actually that the four lower bodies are ruling the personality, controlling and ruling the personality. So, to my understanding, they are also affecting the process of the integration of the personality, and are the contributory factors in the emergence of the personality ray. Because each of the lower bodies is conditioned by their own race and sub-race. It means each of the ray has, there are seven sub-race we're talking. Like in the planes, we have a plane with seven, with the sub-planes. So we have here also sub-rays on each of the lower bodies. And you know why I am sort of thinking along these lines, it's also based on the reference, which is one of its kind, DK has given to a disciple, DHB, and here it is. And when he says to him, one of the interesting things to be noted as one studies your ray tendencies is that all your three bodies are on the line of 1, 3, 5, 7. Yet your personality ray is on the sixth ray, on the line of 2, 4, 6. Why is this? The reason is that the control of your soul is in this incarnation of sufficient power to evoke a reaction in all the three vehicles of the personality. And the sixth subray of each of the governing rays of the three bodies is so active that it becomes a dominating factor. Hence, you have a six-ray personality. Now, this reference is found on Dyna 1, page 428, for this disciple, DHB, who had second-ray soul, six-ray personality, first-ray mental, first-ray astral, and seventh-ray physical. And this is the only reference where DK is actually directly speaking about the sub-rays of the three lower bodies and the emergence from those levels of the personality ray. And believe me, all of us esoteric astrologers are still pondering what he's actually telling us here, okay? But it is relevant to this topic which we are talking about. So I thought it would be illuminating for you to be aware of this reference and consider it from when you're dealing with the race and the sub-race. and trying to find out how it works. And I have no time to go into it, and it's in my own, it's my own process of investigation. Now, I seem to be jumping here, excuse me. What he is further telling us, that the first, fourth, fifth, and eighth houses are the houses of the personality and are ruled by the four non-sacred planets, not counting the sun, because we have five non-sacred planets, including the sun, but in the rulership of these four houses of the personality, he is not counting the sun, which, you know, it's very, very unusual comment from him again. But this is my own sort of choice and understanding for the rulership of these four houses of the personality, that the first house would be ruled by Mars, the fourth by the Moon, the fifth, as we have Sun not counted, I am selecting the Earth, and eighth house is the Pluto, because as you have seen from over here, that, you know, we have five non-sacred planets, Mars, Earth, Pluto, and Moon, and Sun, okay? He's excluding the Sun from this rulership. So he's leaving to us, you know, to select the planets for these four houses of the personality, because these are the houses which are, you know, have very heavy energies in related to the form and the personality energies, okay? That's why they are ruled by the non-sacred planets. From still a different perspective or angle, he's giving us another rulership. This time he's taking the signs, Aries, Cancer, Leo, and Scorpio, which rule these four houses of the personality, first, fourth, fifth, and eighth. Okay? And he is actually saying which planet, that the Aries is ruled by Mars, the Cancer is ruled by Moon, and he's saying it is now, before it was as a non-sacred planet, it was veiling non-sacred planet, now it's veiling, he's saying sacred planet. My hypothesis would be that it could be a Neptune, which the Moon would be veiling, and the Sun ruling Leo, veiling a sacred planet. It could be Uranus, Neptune, or Vulcan, to my perception. And Scorpio, he says, it's ruled by Pluto. Okay? So this is, he says himself directly in relation to these four signs, you see. Now, when I'm thinking myself about it as to why he's doing it this way, I see in these rulerships that he's hinting that we can look at the houses also from a higher perspective, as a that the sacred planets are being veiled and the signs as a higher energies to the houses. Okay? And here, as we see, it is the Earth which is left out. Before it was the Sun, which was left out as a ruler of the fifth house. Here he is putting it on the sign Leo, which is related to the fifth house. But he's here left the earth out from the five non-sacred planets. Okay? So you see, the subject is has to be really, before one can look what how this energy is working actually, one needs to really understand, you know, what the master is saying and what he is not saying. Okay? For me, he's also hinting through these different rulerships, particularly leaving the sun or the earth from the one or the other level. He is hinting at the relationship between the earth and the sun, which we find in the chart always in opposition to each other. Okay? So here it's for me emerging a very importance and significance in this relationship and the axis of the earth and the sun when found in the chart, okay? And through which polarity of houses and signs this polarity happen would be again very individual for each of us. And through the, you know, through the study of the initiatory process of the logos of sacred and non-sacred planet, the implication is that there is a correspondence between the initiate up to and including the third initiation and the consciousness of the logos of a non-sacred planet. And we know, you know, that we are living on a non-sacred planet, which is the Earth. Okay? So, I don't want to go, you know, into the initiatory process because, you know, it's rather long and involved, besides saying that, you know, the logos of a sacred planet has taken five of the cosmic initiation from the lesser degrees, because there are two levels of the cosmic initiation, the major and lesser. So it's rather involved, and so I am not going to go into that in any great details, besides saying that, you know, the logos of our planetary logos of our non-sacred planet Earth is in process of taking the fourth cosmic initiation in the lesser series of the initiations. Okay, you can study this process, what he is saying about it, in the esoteric astrology, you know, which I have indicated for you. Where you find it. So by correspondence, we can say that for us, for a man up to the third initiation, is we are becoming an integrated personality, establishing, you know, a soul contact. We are going through the process of fusing the soul with the personality and beginning to register the sensitive response to the spiritual triad and eventually to the monad. But that only starts really at the third initiation when we are turning towards the monad and somehow for the first time trying to recognize or feel and live that energy. Also, there is process of development of the intuition happening. The closer we come to the third initiation, and obviously above that. And this process I see also happening, through this polarity of the Earth and the Sun opposition, and also through a Gemini Sagittarius axis, where the Earth is the esoteric ruler of Sagittarius and hierarchical ruler of Gemini, and also through the three levels of the Sun, because I'm taking both of these planets working together, Earth and Sun, through their polarity, and also through the polarity Gemini Sagittarius, and through the three levels of the Sun, which are, as we know, the physical Sun, the heart of the Sun, and central spiritual Sun. And as our focus at this webinar is the physical body, we need to consider or look only at the physical Sun, which at that level, the Sun is veiling Jupiter. Okay? For the heart of the Sun level, the Sun is veiling Neptune. And for the level of the central spiritual Sun, Sun is veiling Uranus. Now, I will put back the chart of the disciple, that we can little bit look what is happening here. When I said, the physical Sun and Sun veiling Jupiter, for the disciple CDP, we see that Jupiter is placed actually in Sagittarius. It's very powerful exoteric placement, because Jupiter rules exoterically Sagittarius, and brings the focus on the physical environment, physical body and personality, because we're considering the physical plane, physical level through that Jupiter, okay? And it is placed in a sixth house of healing, of adjustment, or correction, or number, many other things. But from this perspective, we stay just with this few indication for that house. This explained for me the statement the Tibetan is making to this disciple when he says to her that she was living in a good physical plane circumstances, which at that time, when during these instructions and these disciples lived, it was a war. So to be living in a good physical plane circumstances, was a great advantage. And this is what he was trying to tell her. She came from a very wealthy family whose business was in publishing. And publishing is ruled by Sagittarius and the ninth house, which is this house here, okay? Which Jupiter rules Sagittarius and archetypally the ninth house also. But as a sacred planet, Jupiter also rules the ninth house, you see? So, and Jupiter is the most beneficial planet of all the planets. Here we have the ruler on her ninth house, Aquarian energy, which is ruled by Uranus, which is in the second house of finance. and it is placed in Sagittarian decanet of Leo, linking the energy to that ninth house, which is the area where the finance was for her coming from through the family business of money. Okay? So she didn't have to worry about, the finances. I didn't show you the rulership of the sacred, we have seven sacred planets ruling the remaining seven houses. Again, he is giving us the seven planets, but he is never telling us which house they rule. Okay? And so we need to figure it ourselves. And the seven sacred planets are Vulcan, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Now, my thoughts are going this way. Vulcan can only rule second house. Okay? It's a planet which starts to rule esoterically anyway. It does not rule in exoteric level, any house. And then we have Mercury, which rules the house 3 and 6. Venus also rules second and seven houses, but if we have Vulcan for second house, Venus is the ruler for the seventh house. Jupiter is ninth house. That's why I said that even for this disciple, the Jupiter is significant to that ninth house, ruling that area of the publishing business, family business. Saturn, this is relatively easy to match. Saturn 10 house and Uranus 11 house and Neptune 12 house. Now, if we count the houses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we are left with a choice of two houses, which house would go for Mercury ruling house, and we are left with one house without a ruler, which we need to find out which planet is going to rule that house. Okay? And these are the question which we need to sort out before we start looking at the chart and trying to figure out how these planets work. We need to make some kind of at least hypothetical decisions about selection, for these houses which he is, not including sun there, then he's not including the earth there, and so on. So from this rulership of the houses by the sacred and non-sacred planets, the sun is not counted as a ruler of any house. Okay? And we have one house without a planetary ruler, and I would leave, to my understanding, Mercury ruling the third house, and I am making a choice of a planet ruling the sixth house as being the planet Earth. Okay? Now, my choice for that is because I'm thinking, what the sixth house is mainly connected to, and that is obviously our service. Okay? The service we can see also in the 11th house as the world service, but we have already accounted for 11th house, the ruler Uranus. Okay? So the other house, it's left for service, it's only the sixth house. Okay? And what the planet Earth is concerned about is our service activities, our field of service, And so from a number of perspectives, the house where we find the earth from the personality as a whole, ruled by the non-sacred planet Sun, and its placement, and from the sixth house of service, ruled by the earth, representing the place and service of activity. Now, I am not sure you understood what I'm saying here. That if you see what I am saying, that from the beginning, you see, that he's telling us that the sun, these four planets, Moon, Earth, Mars, and Pluto, are controlling the sun or the personality. Okay? So where we find the Earth, you know, that house also would be related to our service in the chart. To make it a little bit more clear what I'm saying for you, that wherever we find the earth in the chart, like in this case, for this disciple, the earth is in the fifth house, that house automatically would be also related to our service. Okay? And also from the personality as a whole, because Earth is one of the non-sacred planets ruling one of the lower bodies of the personality, we automatically have to include the Sun. That's why the Sun-Earth polarity are very important from a number of perspectives, in this case also to our service area and service activities. Okay? And from the sixth house, which I am hypothesizing is ruled by us because it's the house of service. And it is the only house which, you know, we have no other planet to account it for. And the earth for me is the best choice. Okay? We have, as we are looking, you know, at this opposition between the sun and earth, also the houses would need to be considered. Okay. In this case, we have the polarity across the fifth house, which is one of the four houses of the personality, ruled to my choice of that rulership. Again, I show it to you here. Fifth house ruled by earth. Okay? Because he's telling us we cannot count the sun, which would be the most obvious choice for the rulership of that house. But no, we need to find a different planet. So out of the other four non-sacred planets available, I have selected the Earth, you see. That, you know, it is rather involved, and it has to be clearly followed not to get confused about this, okay? So we have a fifth house, which is one of the fifth houses of the personality. Okay, I have to just to make sure that you're understanding this when he is saying that, where we had that. You see? In here, when he's saying that the first, fourth, fifth, and eighth houses are the houses of the personality and are ruled by the four non-sacred planets, yes? So in CDP's chart, the Earth's non-sacred planet, it's actually my selection for ruling the fifth house. It's in the fifth house, which is a personality house. Okay. And it's opposition the sun, which is in the 11th house, which is ruled by the sacred planet, as we have seen, Uranus. Okay? So we have a non-sacred house, opposition a sacred house. This is actually the major major focus of energies for the for this disciple, this polarity of houses here. Okay? So it's very, very significant. So we need to evaluate, as I said, our service also in relation to not only to this polarity, Earth and Sun, but also on the polarity of the houses. Okay? And one is ruled by non-sacred planet and one by the sacred planet. So when we look the placement now for the planet Earth, for this disciple, it is placed in the Libra, in the sign of Libra, but in the Gemini decanate of Libra, okay? And the sun is in Aries, but is in the Sagittarian decanate of Libra, of Aries. So what is emerging here is the polarity of Gemini Sagittarius by decanate rulership, where the Earth is the ruler, as I already mentioned, on the esoteric and hierarchical level. So you see the importance emerging here for this disciple, interestingly enough, you know, with the double emphasis, not only through the polarity Sun and Earth, but also through the Gemini Sagittarian decanates. Okay? Now, I hope you're following all this, because it's very significant, and for me it is confirming a lot of things what DK is saying to this disciple, and we discussed some of it already in previous webinars, and it's for me a confirmation. This Aries Libra polarity, for example, for this disciple is very important, because it indicates her achievement, or she should achieve the inner poise. Inner poise is Libra. It's the balance. It's the balance. It's the middle point. Standing in the light of the soul on its own plane. Okay? And within the light of that loving soul from where she had to work and serve. Okay? Now when we try to look in her chart, where is the Gemini Sagittarius polarity? Look where we find it. We find it across the 12 and six houses, where the sixth house, you know, my choice of rulership, it's the planet Earth for that house, and the 12th house is ruled by the sacred planet. It's a Piscean house. It means Neptune. Okay. So you see, while I'm pointing all these things, they have to be all finally synthesize together, you know. But I am going through stage by stage because, you know, there need to be a deep understanding behind these energies. This disciple never hesitated in her search, Sagittarius, for a field in which to serve her soul. Okay? Serve, you know, Earth, ruler of the sixth house of service, and we find in the sixth house in Sagittarius the planet Jupiter, which happened to be her second ray soul ruler, because she is a second ray soul. Okay? And the soul is the Venus in Gemini in the 12th house. Okay? In the subjective levels, the level of the soul. So this opposition from Venus to Jupiter is very significant from the Gemini Sagittarian axis, which are ruled by the planet Earth. And we are seeing from, you know, that many people ask, you know, how, what the Earth is representing, how do we see our service in the chart? And this is the process which is being now in a greater depth indicated through including the sacred and non-sacred planets, you see, and the rulers of the 12 houses, which they are in affecting and influencing. So she had a very gentle vibration. You know, it's very Piscean and also cancer energy. You know, these are the gentle vibration of her being, with her persistent note of service and of love to release the imprisoned soul, as DK is saying, in the 12th house of, you know, behind the scene, which one of them is also prison, which the 12th house representing, for service, Jupiter, in the sixth house of service, okay, as the soul ruler. So all this for me, it's a confirmation that, you know, that's how these energies, you know, should be interpreted astrologically, because in her case, they are making a lot of sense and confirmation of the master's words here. So coming back to the moon, as a ruler of the first house, now, as we are looking at the sacred and non-sacred planets, it's not only that it is one of the planets generally ruling the physical body, the moon, as a ruler of the first house, but is also a non-sacred planet ruling the fourth house. Okay, and don't be confused that you see here Virgo, because we are looking at the rulership of the houses from the non-sacred and sacred planets, which DK is giving us what they are, and for some of them, you know, we need to find the house rulerships ourselves. These signs which we find for this, let's say for this disciple and for each of us, like Virgo, we need to combine the influence of the Virgo influence with the moon influence ruling the fourth house as a non-sacred planet. These energies have to be synthesized from number of different perspectives and different levels, you see. And this house, fourth house, from the level which we are considering it, it's relating to our home. Okay? And in the case of this disciple, home, wife, mother, because she had no profession. Her home and family was her profession. That's why she also have the Cancer decanate of Pisces on her Dharma as a major energy. So if I am linking this fourth house with the keywords, like let's say the mother, and linking it to the to the sixth house, where we are considering, you know, if we're considering the earth as ruling it, we have a mother earth, and here is a mother of a family, of a children, taking care, nourishment. Energy is linking the Virgo energy here to the Cancer energy of the first house through the moon. And moon is the soul ruler also of the fourth house. So we can interpret each house from the personality and form energies, and also from the higher energies of the sacred planets and also of the esoteric rulers. And all this had to be synthesized into one energy from which it emerges the final conclusion here, okay? Because everything is linked to everything else, okay? As in here, I am just giving you some hints, basically, not going to every aspect of this interpretation because it's too time consuming and involving, but giving you some hints how to approach the interpretation of these non-sacred and sacred planets in relation to the houses of the horoscope, and integrating the energies with the exoteric and esoteric rulership. Rather involved, wouldn't you say so? But it is giving a deeper insight into the relationship, and particularly for me, emerging, you know, the service area when I am looking at it and what DK is saying to her about her own service, you see. So when we look at the fifth house, very important house for her, because, you know, we have actually in the fifth house of personality, the two non-sacred planets, Earth and Moon. One is the hypothetical ruler of the house itself. The moon is ruling the first house from the perspective of the physical body, personality, and they are both. This is for her the most difficult area of her chart, you know, to lift these energies into the higher levels, okay? And, you know, Scorpio energy here, moon in Scorpio, very testing indeed. And because the moon also rules the ascendant as representing soul purpose, okay, the moon represents a blockage of its own to the fulfillment of that purpose, okay? And one of the blockages or obstacles to fulfilling this soul purpose would be her physical body. There was a lack of integration between her etheric and physical bodies. And look, both planets are in the same house. Etheric body, Earth, Moon, physical body, the dense physical. Now, isn't that interesting? And she allowed her weak, devitalized body to dictate her. And so she had a glamour, suffered from glamour of physical disability. Even there was nothing wrong organically with her physical body as such. Okay? So for me, I'm discovering a lot of confirmation and a deeper insight by including the non-sacred and sacred planet, because now, you know, I have again relationship to the sixth house of health and problems with the physical body. Okay? Again, linking process. I am finding the linking process to the sixth house and the earth there. Okay? And it would be affecting also, you know, her service activity. So the integration of the personality from the other side is affected. You know, she came into this incarnation with very poorly integrated personality. And she's under the instruction of the master, she is starting to slowly integrate, you know, these different lower levels of the three lower bodies, but, you know, she's only in process of that. So, and if we consider the fifth house purely from the mind, mundane physical or personality perspective, as we are, I am trying to leave the interpretation of the energies on one level, not to confuse the matters. And as we were dealing with the physical body, that's why I am leaving it on the physical plane, physical manifestation, in order to not to get confused, you know, including, you know, the other levels of interpretation here. It was it would also involve this area of the fifth house, talents and hobbies of the personality, the creative and procreative activity, and thus it would be the children of the body, birth of children, which was a major struggle and issue in developing emotional detachment, as we know, from her children. Then of the emotion, the astral emotional area, it would be the human love and love affairs of the fifth house. And the children of the mind, you know, creating of thought forms. You know, this is the I'm getting at some of the ideas of the lowest form or personality energies represented by this fifth house here, and it is very related to her. We have discussed, you know, her etheric problems, now the physical body problems, you know, which, you know, she really was fixed upon her physical body, creating a glamour, an obstacle in her spiritual progress, because emphasizing to that physical body to the extent where, you know, she was just swimming in that glamour among many other glamours, which we would consider later as we go along in other webinars, not in this one. And if we look, you see, I'm only hinting again at these ideas from the perspective of the non-sacred planets in relation to the lower of physical creativity here of the fifth house, the Mars, as one of the non-sacred planet ruling, would condition the sacral center here. In the process, we're dealing with the creative house from the from the lower perspective going to the higher of the throat center, sacral to the throat, okay? But from the lower creativity, the mass would condition the sacral center in here. And the sun would be standing here for the Vulcan as one of the first creative workers among men, as DK said, governs the center in front of the throat, which is related to the parathyroids and acting as a mediator between the higher and lower creative organs, and thus between the sacral and the throat center. And it falls into disuse when the higher creative activity of the throat begins. Okay? So we are looking from the really physical creativity of this house. There is obviously a higher creativity to consider. For example, this is the area of the causal body and its talents. As there are talents of the and hobbies of the personality, on a higher level, it would be the talents which we have, which we are gathering in the causal body of the soul. So, you know, that I'm just trying to stay at the one level, as I say. Now, so in the involvement and presence of these non-sacred planets of Earth and Moon in the fifth house, this would bring focus on the spleen, which is ruled by Earth. And we have considered the vitalized condition and the vitality of the spleen, which is ruled by Earth. And the Moon, as a non-sacred planet in relation, you know, to this house, would be ruling and related to the thymus gland, which becomes inactive when the heart center starts to awaken. And we know that heart is related to the sun, the fifth house, and the sign Leo. And so is also the vitality. When we try to consider the vitality, we would always include the fifth house, the sign Leo, and the sun itself. Okay? But, you know, giving you some further idea, still staying with this fifth house, because, you know, it is so, so significant for this disciple. And as an example, how we should look at these energies, we see that, you know, beside Earth as a non-sacred planet ruling the fifth house, by my understanding, as one of the four non-sacred planets, and being the house of the personality, the fifth house, it is also ruled, in her case, by Libra, you see. Libra on the fifth cusp here, okay? And Libra, exoterically, is ruled by Venus, which happened to be also one of the sacred planets, if you remember, one of the sacred planets, which is ruling the seventh house, okay? And we need to consider this into our interpretation here, okay? And Venus is also, we have already looked at Venus in the polarity with the Jupiter. Each planet can be interpreted from a number of perspectives, as you see here. Okay? That's why I don't want to confuse the levels. What I am trying to indicate that we need to integrate the rulership of the house itself, which is a Libra for this disciple, from lower and higher rulership, from Venus perspective and from Uranus as the esoteric ruler of Libra. You see? And I see basically a relationship developing through the whole chart from various different levels. Okay? In this case, you know, we have also the second house involved here through the moon, where, you know, it's a Taurian house which the Venus also rules. So, you know, there is a relation between fifth house, second house, 12th house, and ninth house through the Uranian influence, through Libra, and ruling Aquarius for her, the ninth house. You see? So from the material perspective, in relation to this fifth house, you know, there is a flow of finance coming not only from the ninth house of the publishing family business, but also from her own creativity, creative activities, you see, through the moon, ruling the second house, Cancer cusp, here, through Venus, which is ruling the second house because it's a Taurian house, and Venus is always related to money, and Uranus is in a money house too, ruling the fifth house. So, staying, you know, on the lowest expression of the creativity, you know, she was writing the Uranus. It's also right, you know, on the cusp of the second house between the second and third. So its energy, you know, we are not so rectifying this chart that it could, you know, it's affecting both houses, that planet. She was a writer. She wrote books, poetry. She was giving, she was creating a very strong mental energy here through the Uranian energy of the throat then. Okay? So, you see, I'm just trying to indicate to you how these sacred and non-sacred planets are being integrated. Okay?
Five minutes, Elena.
You see, I don't think, I would like to really finish this topic, not carrying it to the next, but, you know, I see that it is not going to be.
How much more do you have left? Let's ask the students, would they like to continue and...
Well, it's quite a bit here, because, you know, there is I am bringing up things which I haven't thought about, and that makes even more, you know, what I am included that I had, aim for. So, you know, it is rather too long, it would take minimal another half an hour or to
Well,
finish this topic.
one student did say they can do another half hour.
Yeah, but that is only one.
Continue. No, another one said, "All right, let's ask this. How many students would like to continue so Elena can finish this subject probably in another half hour?"
I would only take if it's the majority of people who would agree. Otherwise, it might be even longer than half an hour, and that, and then I don't want to get people upset here.
Can we have a show of hands?
Because we can do it at the next webinar. I have no problem with that.
Okay, we only have three hands up, so.
Yes, okay. So, anyway, we will leave it to the next webinar because, it would be good also if you yourself a little bit studied that 30 pages in the esoteric astrology, as I have indicated, to come to your own some kind of feel or perception or conclusion, your own understanding about these things. Okay, my purpose, you see, it's just on in the chart of this disciple to show how these sacred and non-sacred planets affect the area of the houses, and particularly, the emergence of the service area, and where I thought it would be just one or two houses, but you see, there is emerging so many different things in relation to our service when we're trying to consider, where is our service? Anyway, I will stop here. And I'm sorry, that I was not able to conclude it, but I never like to rush with things, particularly about a topic which even myself I have never considered from this aspect.
You have a question on the pages again. That was Esoteric Astrology 503 to 533.
That's correct. That's
Okay.
correct. Yes. Has anybody has any comments to make? At least I would be very interested if you didn't get too much confused what I was saying, or were you able to more or less follow it? Could anybody make any comment about that?
Leah says it was clear. I don't see any hands. Malia says I have found it brilliantly thought out and brilliantly clear.
Okay. Because, especially, I feel especially for the people who are new to astrology, this might be very heavy. Going, to follow all this. Any other comments about this?
I don't see any, but I agree
Okay,
with you. It's
that's no.
probably hard. It's probably difficult for the beginners to astrology, but it gives them something to consider.
Yes, I mean, this is my main purpose of introducing this topic. Because I thought dealing with the personality and the lower bodies and the physical body that, these are unnecessary energies to consider. You see, because they are ruling the lower vehicles of the personality itself. So, they are part of the integration of the personality and the personality ray and the race of the lower bodies with the sub race. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And
You got another comment from Alex, and she says, as a beginner, I still find it really interesting.
thank you, Alex. Nice to see you here. So anyway, we will continue where I left at the next webinar. Okay? Then I want to have a word with you, BL, about this when we finish. Okay?
Okay. I guess we're done then.
Yes, we're
So,
done.
goodbye, everybody. Thank you
Yes.
for being with us.
Goodbye also from me, and thank you again.